If you take your Bible, go to Revelation chapter 2. Chapters 2 and 3, we're looking at letters that Jesus sent to seven churches in Asia. I think we've got a map of that to kind of help you see what we're talking about. But down here is Patmos. The Isle of Patmos is where John was exiled. And you cross over to Ephesus, and you just kind of make a circle, kind of a postal route from city to city. And it's believed that the Ephesian church went into these other cities with the gospel and preached and planted churches. So Ephesus is kind of the mother church of these other six churches. Today we're going to look at two others. We noticed Ephesus and Smyrna last Sunday. Today we're going to look at Pergamos and Thyatira. And again, as we look at these, I can't help but wonder, if Jesus wrote a letter to Florence Street, what would he say to us? What would he be able to commend about us? Is there anything that he would condemn that he sees in our church? So we really need to apply this to ourselves. And remember, in every church there's two groups of people. There's a minority that does about everything. And there's a majority that does very little. Somebody once described a football game as 22 men on a field desperately in need of rest, 22,000 people in the stands desperately in need of exercise. And I think that's kind of true of a lot of churches are like that. We have a majority that is complacent and a minority that is very committed. The minority is hungry for God's blessings, while the majority sometimes hinders God's blessings. Often the minority's vision is dashed by the majority's vote. Think about that one. Not always do we have everybody in agreement on a vision for the church. The Pergamos church was no exception. Jesus commended the testimony of the minority, but he condemned the tolerance of the majority in this church. They were allowing things to come into the church, false teachings, false doctrine, worldliness. A lack of Bible knowledge will bring us to worldliness. Amen. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to hear it, and we need to heed it, so that God can see this church being what we ought to be. We know that in Ephesus, there was the formal church. In Smyrna, there's the fearful church. Now we're going to look at Pergamos, the faltering church. If you want to stand with me to honor God's word, we're going to start reading with verse number 12. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. Then we'll note the next letter in a moment. Says in verse 12, to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. With each church he goes back to a description of Christ in chapter 1 and picks out something particular about Christ that maybe applies to this particular church. So he has the sharp sword with two edges. And he says, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, thou hast not denied my faith. Even those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receives that stone. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at the letter to Thyatira also here in a moment. Let's focus on Pergamos for a little while. Here's the faltering church. We see again a word of commendation from the Lord. We see their place in the world. Pergamos was more than an earthly location. It was an evil location. It was where Satan's seat was at that time, where Satan was dwelling. In other words, the power of Satan was greatly manifested in this city of Pergamos. It was a pagan city, one of the great centers of pagan worship in the world. It had temples to Athena, to Jupiter, to Minerva, to Apollos and Venus and Bacchus. A very idolatrous city. Sin just ran rampant in this city. But the Lord had a church there. Amen. Dark Pergamos needed a light to shine there. And God needs a church where the devil's seat is located. God needs a witness there in the devil's workshop. Again, I know some people complain about having to work in an ungodly environment. But just think about this. God may have put you there to be a light in that darkness. He needs a witness in that place. So just shine wherever you're at. Amen. Wherever it might be. Satan worship. You know, it began in Babylon. Back in the time of Nimrod. You know, all pagan religion is rooted in the mystery Babylon religion. Satan's throne was in Babylon back then. But it's moved around. Here it is in Pergamos. And later on it would be in Rome. Have no idea where it might be today. I hope it's not in Broken Arrow, don't you? But Satan has his headquarters somewhere out of which he operates. Here it was in Pergamos. And we see not only their place in the world, but their persecution by the world. And Jesus commended them for being faithful in persecution. He reminds them of one named Antipas, who he calls my faithful martyr, who was slain. He may have been the pastor of this church. Antipas means against all. Against all. He stood against all false doctrine. He stood against all ungodly living. We need to be against that, amen? We need to be good examples to others. Reminds me of a little Joey who was sent to bed by his mother for using foul language. His father came home and heard about it. And he said in anger, "I'll teach him how to cuss." He starts up the stairs to the boy's room and he trips and stumbles and falls down the stairs. Just a cuss in a blue streak. The mother says, "Well, I guess you taught him enough for one day." He's going to teach him a lesson, right? Now, parents, we got to be careful about what we're teaching our children. What kind of example that we are before them. Also, I want you to see a word of correction. He charges this church with tolerating two false doctrines. I think they were loyal to the first precepts of the faith. They're allowing some new views to come into the church which are not scriptural. He says they are the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of Balaam defiling the holiness of the church. You know, the Bible speaks of the way of Balaam in 2 Peter chapter 2. It speaks of the counsel of Balaam in Numbers 31:16. And now it talks about the doctrine of Balaam. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Balaam and King Balak, make a note, Numbers chapter 23 and 24. You might want to read that this afternoon to get an idea of what he's talking about. See, the Israelites, when they came into Canaan land and defeating the Canaanites, King Balak tried to hire a prophet named Balaam, a Gentile prophet. He wanted him to put a curse upon the Israelites. But when he tried God instead would bless them. He said, I cannot curse the people that God has blessed. But since he could not curse them, he corrupted them. He corrupted the Israelites and ultimately led them into immorality and into idolatry. And that very idea was now going on in Pergamos. There were some who had come into the church and they were trying to mix a little bit of paganism with Christianity. Now keep in mind, most of the people in the church came out of pagan religion.